You came in that thing? You're braver than I thought. It's GRD's Weekly.
I love how you sound kind of drunk on that. That's
thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
I'm very enthusiastic.
Yes, enthusiastically drunk.
Or drunkly enthusiastic.
Ooh.
The world will never know.
You can switch those adverbs around any way you like them. Hi there. Welcome to GRD's Weekly episode
218.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Now, if you divide those numbers into each other, what do you get? Long
other
series
numbers.
Of digits.
Math.
Math.
We can't math.
No, not today. So hi there. We're with the fantastic folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know what? You love us, and sometimes you even tolerate us, which is always good. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Yeah, we'll talk about this one at some point. So hey, people gathered around tonight. The lady that will just cut right to it, so don't mess with her. It's the Flintstress.
If I wanted a joke, I'd follow you into the John and watch you take a leak.
Oh, she's cold. Oh, Lord of mercy.
Yikes.
Hey there, it's the guy that knows exactly what he should do. It's the Bruce.
Boy, if I were president, I'd put a stop to matters. That's what I'd do. I'd make a proclamation.
You're damn right you would.
Damn right I would.
Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Allow me to carry your legend forward. Let the man you have become be the boy you were.
You're damn right. You're damn right. What have you been doing, Geeky, yo?
Tons of stuff, because it's been a while since we've had a show.
Well, you know, you do three in a week, and you generally
and you
get
take
to...
a little bit of... You, we were spent.
There you go, yeah.
Need a couple just weeks, kidding. Need some more Gatorade.
Yeah, I gotta stretch. Anyway, but
bananas.
Tons of stuff. We talked about it on the last show, but we finally wrapped up the first season of True Detective. Now, if you hadn't seen this, it was only, what, 6 or 7 episodes?
8 episodes.
8 episodes. I knew it had to be like a round number, something like that. And this was a phenomenal experience.
Yes.
I mean, 8 episodes clearly makes it a season and not really a miniseries, but it felt like a kind of a long miniseries.
Okay.
You can see how I would say that?
Yeah. Sure.
I can get that.
So it follows the same characters, played by Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
And they're detectives and they're solving crimes.
It was
just phenomenal. And it got more people hyped on a show, in my opinion, since like Lost.
Really?
Because there were all these like conspiracy theories and people were like, what is this and what's going on here?
Yeah.
And did he really see that or was it really there? And all of those, you know, because you're hearing it from different people's point of view, but sometimes they're straight up lying.
Yeah.
So the narration overplay is completely contradictory to what is actually happening in the show. It's so cool.
And people loved it so much that they knocked HBO Go offline.
I heard about that.
For the finale,
because it's that good.
Yeah, they shut it down. They overloaded it. Yeah.
Crashed that sumbitch. But yeah, there's still... See, I heard the thing where like they're not supposed to be coming back, but I got to believe maybe not as main characters, but they have to because their part in this story is still not over because I still believe Marty's got a horrifying secret to learn about his family. There's so many... It's there. I see it. There is evidence. I can point to specific episodes and everything.
Hmm.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
But that's what
and
you
they
do.
And never really, they never really tied the green-eared spaghetti monster, burn scar face, Yellow King at the same time.
Yellow
King,
yeah.
So I mean, there might still be more going on.
Cthulhu was not
and we
the
never
Yellow
quite,
King.
We never quite tied it to the main big bad senator dude, right?
Kind of, sort of. He was in there. Yeah.
Okay, you're saying words.
Yep.
I'm not really sure those go together at all.
Bruce?
I've developed word salad.
So some kids described a man with spaghetti hair and green ears that chased them through the woods the same time we were learning about Carcosa and whether or not people who were experiencing us subjectively would see our universe as a flat disc. It's a really wild ride, brother. You got to jump on board.
Mind-melting experience.
I mean, the first time you realize that Matthew McConaughey is constructing a clue in front of the detectives while he's talking is just, holy Jesus, because he never references it, but that's exactly what he's doing.
And I've never been on drugs, but this movie makes you see at parts, makes you feel like you know what it means to be on drugs.
Occasionally, you know what Timothy Leary felt like. I do believe.
Wow.
I do believe.
Yeah, the colors, man. The colors.
The colors. The electrical.
So True Detective is super awesome. Great. All right, let's get right to it. The Walking Dead.
Yes.
So there's been 2 episodes on since we last met.
Sure.
And in the first one, it's Daryl and Beth. And it's kind of like a not much happens necessarily in that one. It's Daryl and Beth, but then it's also Maggie and what is her name?
The other girl.
And the other guy, right?
Yeah, Bob.
Bob.
What about Bob? But his name is Bob, and her name...
Her name is not Bob.
Sharon or Shannon or something.
Yeah, some of them.
Something like that. Yeah. But anyway, so I like kind of this, it's not always just about Rick, and it's not just about this core group, it's about them all sort of heading one direction. And I'm not sure, like, I'm not sure if I want to read the graphic, because I read quite a bit of the graphic novel. And yeah. I appreciated kind of watching the show, knowing what I knew about the graphic novel to go, that's a little bit different. Or just kind of, I appreciated that kind of compare yeah. and contrast aspect. And then I stopped reading the graphic novel, ran out of it, or didn't have it on the device that I was reading it on or whatever. And then, so from here on in, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not sure which way I like it better, you know, because most of the time I have always read the book first.
Except if you could remember, you actually have read characters that we have met recently and plot lines that they are setting up now. You have read those
things.
See,
but all I remembered was up to the prison.
Okay.
So whether I read it or not, my, you know, what I retained was up to the prison.
Okay. I prefer going the route of not seeing two different ways of the story, you know, versus, you know, graphic novel versus or book with the movie or television show, simply because I don't want to have that comparison of going, oh, I know what's happening next. Surprise.
Yeah, but you never know exactly how it's going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, except for something like the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Anyway, but no, but then I didn't even
There's
say anything
wedding,
that happened.
Right. They yeah. say that yeah. in the show. You're
right. It's
to
the title
Red
of
wedding.
The episode. Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, I didn't on. Say anything, give anything away. But like, nothing that the internet didn't already
And
give
then
away.
The giant caterpillar showed up.
But no, I'm just saying that sometimes it's exactly how you picture it, which is really, really cool to see like your imagination come to life in a vision.
Yeah.
You know, and then other times, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's like a superiorities kind of thing to just be like, they did it better in the book. Or sometimes I like the way they did it better in the story, you know, in the film adaptation,
yeah.
if you will.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of that whole like what if possibility. It's well. Interesting.
So are we going to get to this moment? Because my comment on it. So everybody.
Spoilers.
Right. So but going along with that, yes, in this particular instance, I think that the overall most shocking thing of the episode was actually done better in this episode than in the comic. However, they had to change and screw up several things in the comic to get to this point that they did better. So it was a trade-off, but it made for an amazing effing episode.
So this is the episode where Carol and Tyrese.
It's Tyrese,
right? And then the two girls that they met at the prison and Judith are all together, and they're heading towards Terminus. This is this place on this
map.
Oh,
and by
the
way,
seeing all over the
no
place.
No one speaks effing Latin.
Terminus means the end.
Yeah,
and
of
maybe,
course it does.
Maybe they're just so damn hopeful and optimistic to be around other people that it's like the end of bad things, but it's not. It's something bad.
So can
Nothing
I make
has
a...
ever happened that has worked out well when humans have congregated on this level.
And since they call it Terminus, I'd like to just go ahead and go a crazy, crazy theory and say they're walking to, like, you know, a self-suicide chamber cult thing.
Because of the what it feels like they're recruiting.
Yeah, it does.
And they shouldn't have to recruit if it was a sanctuary. It's what all who arrive survive. And I mean, they wouldn't need a catchy slogan if it was just
That's
naturally
how you get the
if it was just
slogans.
A good place. You shouldn't have to try to convince
so,
people to come.
So Tyrese and them were yeah.
Well, the thing is, when you have something like that, You're gonna have to convince people, because everybody's gonna be like, nope, not gonna go there.
I've been one of these before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Woodbury 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. And Terminus, okay, it's the end. I figured because it's all on the railroad tracks, it's just where the railroad tracks end.
That would be just very crazy to sublime.
Well, no, they're all it's all converging onto a central point.
Yeah, this is where
from different angles.
All the railroads end here.
Yeah, that's the yeah.
So the depot.
Yeah. Yeah, so
but anyway, so they find this house, and the house has some food, and it has actually a gas stove that still has gas in it. I mean, and it's a house in really good shape. Not since the farm have we really had an opportunity to see anybody live like that. But if you were mentally ill before the zombie outbreak,
then this didn't help you at all.
You are still mentally ill.
And there's not really therapists. Britta's not around.
No, there is no therapist. There is no medication. There is...
If you have had a fundamental mental break and do not see the walkers, as you just see them as people in a different phase of their life, and you are willing to risk everything, I mean... Look at the flowers, Lizzie. Have you seen all the memes that have been going around with, like, anybody want a babysitter? And it's the actor, Lizzie.
Yeah,
and you're like, too soon?
It's the whole... I had a thought about it, but I hadn't just lost it. But it's the whole... She has taken a break from reality.
Oh,
she has taken
she has
a complete...
snapped. She's gone batshit insane.
Well, the thing is, she's been going this way for a while. It's just nobody saw the signs.
Well, they thought that maybe she wasn't, like, that she was playing, or they, like, all of the kids were naming the zombies, but they weren't taking it seriously.
If they, if they'd really paid attention to the rabbit. Seen it.
But the adults weren't.
Right.
Right. They were kind of busy.
Yeah. The adults didn't see the signs. They didn't know about the rat that was disemboweled and put up like it was, you know, a display. Yeah. The rats that were being fed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't contribute to her. This child probably would have had mental problems to begin with.
Oh, but definitely.
They would Here's not the creepiest. Have been that bad.
The creepiest line of the entire show is after she does what she does to her sister, and Carol and Tyrese walk up, and she goes,
yeah.
"I was just about to." She was just about to kill Judith.
No, oh, yeah, no. Exactly.
Can I say what a horrible human being that I am? That I was a little disappointed that she hadn't. Because that baby is going to ruin this down the road. I'm sorry.
Babies are loud and they cry. And
yes. Yeah.
And I mean, she's being super quiet. I mean, she's being super quiet.
Well, it's amazing what duct tape will do to a child.
It's true.
Well, Lizzie did almost kill her that one time when she was crying and the zombies were coming in Carol a couple episodes ago.
Well, you know, maybe she was having flashbacks to her previous life where she was a woman in Korea on a bus with Hawkeye.
Yeah. Oh, I went a long way for that. Yep. I was going there.
No, but I know exactly what you mean. It felt exactly like
that. It wasn't
a
chicken. It was a...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes. I was going there. If you weren't, I was going there.
Yes. Oh, that whole show was just so creepy. I think this was the moment where, you know, where people went, oh my God, The Walking Dead. Because, you know, we've had a lot of zombie killing. We've had a lot of people on people violence and kind of all about like the humanity of us and who we are after these tragedies. But this was just, damn.
Yeah.
I mean, this broke people.
Oh yeah, it did. And again, I'm just a weirdo because I'm like, yep, this season, there for all the goofiness that has happened, there's been some goofy this season, since they've come back. But they're really tapping into that comic book feel because, yeah, horrible shit like this happened in the comic. Yeah.
And Carol gets it. And I even said when she took care of the, you know, she killed those two people back at the prison because she was trying to stop the outbreak of the disease. They would have died anyway.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, like, she will do whatever it takes to survive and to protect those that she loves.
She is a pragmatist in the 100%. Ultimate form.
And so I'd certainly like to have her on my zombie apocalypse team, unless I got bit. You know, then I want Rick to cut my limb off.
I'm not even going to sneeze ever.
Yeah. And I mean, like, Tyrese has no choice but to basically forgive her because he realized that she did what had to be done.
It's gonna do what I mean. Yeah.
It sucks that it happened to be somebody that I loved, but you did what had to be done.
You know, since you shot that kid in the back of the head, it's the least I can do is forgive you.
Right. You've made up for it. Jesus Christ. Until the moment that it happened, I was like, is she?
Oh, absolutely.
I thought maybe they would just leave her there.
No, that's even worse.
That's one of those, you know what? We can't have you around and we can't let you go.
Yeah, and we can't unleash you on anybody else either. So, wow.
Look at the flowers.
Yeah, that's all right.
Let's move on to Archer.
There you go.
Some comedy.
Yes. Oh, woo.
Well, we're not doing phrasing?
No.
Archer decides he gets the brilliant idea that he's going to smuggle cocaine into Colombia.
You're goddamn right.
I mean, you know, sure. And Pam's still addicted and all kinds of hijinks. Charlene is still the record, you know, trying to get a record deal. I think the funniest part of the whole thing was in this most recent episode where Ray pretends to be paralyzed for like the whole episode. And then he's like, all right, I just wanted to hear you say it. And then like totally got up. That was the most badass thing he's ever done. I mean, Archer had actual respect for him for a minute there.
Eat a dick, Jungle.
God.
Crash, 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 crash. Stop.
Damn.
God, crash, crash.
Gosh, that was awesome. Also highlighting the need for punctuation, you know? Yeah. Eat a dick, Jungle is a lot different from eat a dick, Jungle.
Yeah, because if you eat a dick, Jungle.
There's a comma in there. Like
sounds like a very bad movie.
Either way, there's a comma in there.
Also on my list of cool stuff that we did, watched From Russia with Love, because, you know, James Bond movies. Yeah, that was a pretty awesome one.
Yeah,
and so, and that just in general, I mean, it was
that's
like such Cold War era. No.
No, that's your, it's Thunderball or Diamonds of Forever.
Moonraker.
I don't know. No. Yeah. All right. Either way.
Excuse me. Sorry, caffeinated.
The burp
not caffeinated. Carbonated beverages.
carbonated caffeine.
Yeah, but it's fun. I mean, Sean Connery really is James Bond. And I mean, he really did spend most of the movie sleeping with women. I mean, like, all the time. Yeah. They don't do that as much in the newer incarnations.
Well, no.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But he, I mean.
And Daniel Craig's still going, God damn it.
I know,
really?
Right? This isn't what I signed up for. I signed up for the
effing. He got a little bit. Timothy Dalton got Jack Zip, not a nothing.
Well, yeah, he wasn't that great of a Bond, so we kind of deserved it.
Hey. I will defend Timothy Dalton. You can defend Timothy Dalton more than you can most of Roger Moore, okay? Taking out The Spy Who Loved Me.
Okay.
Because that's just awesome. Sorry.
I also rewatched Easy A, the movie with, what's her name that you like? Emma Stone?
Yeah, that's her name.
So that was a fun movie. I mean, I'd seen it before, and it happened to be on TV, and we watched it again, and it was super fun.
Yep. Although it's based on the stupidest thing ever, is that a school nowadays would actually shun a girl for losing her virginity. Right. Yeah. This might have still worked in the 80s, but this plot line has sailed, folks, but it's still a good time, so watch it.
Yeah.
Thomas Hayden Church is a teacher in that, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So that was pretty fun. We are one behind on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have not seen the one with the Asgardians.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but we saw the one before that.
I thought it was going to be The Enchantress. I really did. I thought it was going to be The Enchantress.
Yeah.
It's not.
Okay.
It surprised me. I was like,
Well, thanks, Bruce. We haven't seen the episode yet.
Do you even know who the Enchantress is?
I don't care who the Enchantress is.
You were sitting there staring at a Kree warrior and didn't know what the hell you were looking at. So that's cool, too.
Yeah, well, that's okay. All right. No problem. You haven't seen it. And the latest episode that came out wasn't a episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was kind of like keep getting everybody else caught up to date on the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did show a couple of things that I had not seen before, including some Age of Ultron concept art.
Very cool. Nice.
Yeah.
So we'll be checking that out. But yeah, we did see the episode where like Sky was maybe going to die and they had to go find the drug from Tahiti and we're, you know, learning about what they did to Coulson.
I like how they pulled a Chud on that one with Tahiti. Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. Way to go.
Yeah.
I love that you just agree with no idea. I love it.
CHUD. It was an acronym for
Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers.
I knew it was for something.
Yeah, we know.
We started a movie and didn't get to finish it. So should I save it for the next Geekiest Week if we ever watch it?
Talk about
we watch about half.
No. We are going to. It's on HBO Go.
We will. Know. Yeah, we watched half of The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
Yep. So the first half of it was pretty fun.
And then like dude showed up to do more like saw work.
Yeah,
and stuff
so we
up
really
and he
couldn't
like,
hear it. Yeah, we're still having our house fixed from when the pipe burst months ago.
Oh, that long time.
Yeah. We also watched the first episode of We're One Behind on Cosmos. Did you watch Cosmos?
I've seen both episodes of Cosmos. Okay. This is absolutely amazing.
Oh, it's so fun.
Amazing. Yeah.
Are you 6 years old again, sitting there? The only thing you're watching on PBS at this point?
I did not watch Cosmos.
Really? Oh, yeah. I was all over that.
Yeah, you were science guy.
But it just wasn't on. I couldn't.
Not the science guy, just a science guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Billy Flynn, a science guy.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the original, but I'm enjoying it very much.
Oh, it's
amazing. I think like they should be showing it in all science classes, and it's just like making me super excited about the universe. I love the calendar aspect of it from the first episode.
Yes,
because the cosmic calendar. You know that our time on this in this universe is insignificant. You know it, but you know I've always had a hard time kind of getting that wrapping my brain around the scale of time. So
14 seconds of a year.
Right. And you know, and the whole kind of zoom out to the, you know, our address. That was also just super cool. I can't wait to watch the second one. We might stay up late and watch it tonight.
Let's see. In schools, if you're not showing this in schools, Jesus Christ, that's a science test right there at the end of it. And what's our it's so in there. So
yes.
Exactly.
And I mean like sixth grade intro to earth science, it's covering what you know, the SOLs, the curriculum, Common Core.
This is exactly how science should be taught.
Yes.
I mean, this was interesting, amazing, informative, and you wanted to watch it. I've seen it three times. The first episode three times.
Unfortunately, now I'm wondering, though. Yeah. Sorry.
No?
I mean, I've into plenty of things that 13-year-old kids do not think are cool. So, I mean, I'm going to try to talk to some of the kids at my school and see if anybody has seen it. Because I would really hope that they would also think that it was super cool. But, you know, I don't know. Are they, like, too cynical about everything? Oh, it's not cool no matter how they package it? Because this is cool.
Not when it's space.
And special effects like they were, you know, this is...
Because, you know, the old Cosmos, we had, like, at best some crude animation. This is some... What the hell?
Yeah.
This is another one of those, if you're one of those type of people, it's probably really good for that. Timothy Leary would like this show, is what I'm saying.
And, like, the first episode also sort of,
you know... Second Timothy Leary reference.
Sounded a little, if you wanted to take it that way, a little bit down on the church. But at the same time, Like, that is what historically happened.
It's history.
And so it is fact, and it is recorded, and
you'll get a little more of that in the second episode. Probably the entire damn thing.
The Inquisition.
Inquisition. Nobody expects. Anyway, yeah. So, I mean, it always kind of has been this battle, even though there are religious scientists and there are, you know, there are people who find merit in both camps. It is sort of a divisive.
And scientific religions.
Yeah. Goodness. Sorry, so anyway, but it's very interesting and I'm enjoying it very much.
It is. The only thing that could possibly make it better and you know, able to appeal to kids more is if some of those comets and asteroids would sing, like, you know, catchy songs. That would be nice.
I think they would.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
No,
hello, the asteroid belt.
God, you should hate yourself.
Yes, I'm only a comet, you know,
and I'm shooting across the sky. All right,
sure, why not?
Nope. And then, anyway, we also watched all the kind of sitcoms that we normally watch. New Girl is still pretty good. They've got her sister on the show, or maybe she's not still on the show. Yeah, who knows?
Coach
is always an interesting
Coach
character.
Is back. I'm so glad that since his other show went away, that they brought him back.
Right.
Because
they didn't get rid of Winston. We needed Coach and Winston.
So you've got two black guys on the show, Bruce.
Diversity.
Which does not... No, I'm not going to go there. Go ahead. Yeah.
And Parks and Recreation is still good. I'm not really sure like what Leslie does for a job now. And she's trying to sort of like back off and let Pawnee have its own thing so that she can move on to the next level. So that's going to be interesting. But it's just... It's the interplay between the characters. It's Donna and Tom. And it's, you know, Ron Swanson having already had the baby. Like, didn't tell anybody. And they're up there working on different things.
Ron had a baby.
The way the characters are, it's just... I just love that show. We'll watch it forever. And Community... We also saw an episode of Community.
You never jumped into Community, did you?
Still haven't.
Abed cosplaying as Kick Puncher, the original Kick Puncher, to go to see the Kick Puncher reboot movie.
Yeah.
It's so funny how cleverly they do TV tropes at the same time making fun of every trope of anything.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful
thing. Just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Welcome back, Dan Harmon. We missed you.
Yeah, it is just so funny. It just makes me laugh. We also watched a couple episodes of Red Dwarf. Spencer had never seen Red Dwarf, so we started with a little...
No kind of atmosphere.
There's no kind of atmosphere. Yep. And it's funny because my news story actually kind of relates to Red Dwarf a little bit. Not really. Don't get excited. They're not doing another Red Dwarf 11. No, it's not coming. But yeah, I forgot. You know, Red Dwarf is kind of juvenile. I'll admit it, right? Like, it's definitely, you know...
Kind of.
13-year-old boy target demographic, but it's still really freaking funny. Really just clever.
Did she just say 14-year-old?
I don't think so.
13-year-old, yeah. Probably,
you hear
though.
What you want to hear, Bruce.
I know, right? So it's definitely kind of like dick and fart jokes, but it's still always
funny.
And
then there's some wonderful parallel dimensions and things
that
distinction.
True.
And a fantastic time travel episode that's coming up.
But, you know, just like a lot of science fiction shows that were on in the past, it's obviously really dated. You know, you do the best that you can to make it, you know, seem... And as a fan of classic Doctor Who, I can't really... give anybody a hard time. But like, it's still funny the things that they predicted we would have in the future and the things that they still have, like some of the phones or the you know, some of the things that they have are just kind of like, oh, you couldn't have predicted everything because who
faxes
could?
Still come through. I like it.
They still get faxes.
Yeah.
But I love the talking toaster. I wish we had a talking toaster.
Yeah. Would you like a what about a nice muffin?
And the last thing on my list is Flynn's been doing trivia for a little while, and I finally made it.
thing on her list is mine. Yeah, go ahead.
No, but I finally made it to come to one of the trivias, and we actually played the trivia.
Nice.
And we didn't win.
No.
But it was fun. And Versailles! There was a question, like you can bet in each round of like how many points you want to put on everything.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure about the answer, but I should have bet all my points on it because it really was the right answer. And so it was the Treaty of Versailles.
It's always good to hedge your bets if you're not completely sure.
Yeah, but I should have gone with it because we were pretty much completely sure. So it was super fun, though. Trivia. And there were a couple of geeky questions. There was a science question. There were a couple of movie and TV questions that were fun. So it was a good time that was had by all.
Yay.
And I'm sure I'm forgetting some things, but I've talked long enough. That has been my geeky sweet.
Yep.
Jesus, unfortunately.
Did your computer go to sleep in the time it took me to sleep?
No, it actually... God damn it.
It just broke.
It just I hit the wrong button, and then I try to back things up. So it didn't work. So, all right, here we go.
All right. The Bruce moment.
Yes. A lot of the things that I talked about, Mike, I'm going to talk about Mike Geeky Week, you've already mentioned.
Yes, because we like to do as much as we can to take everything from you to make you as unhappy as you could possibly be.
All right. Growing Up Fisher. This is a new show from NBC. It's
Bobby
one of their new
Fisher?
Comedies. No.
Okay.
That'd be Chess, and that wouldn't be too much of a comedy.
There's some very funny Chess jokes, but go ahead.
Yeah. J.K. Simmons plays a blind lawyer who's a father of two kids who is currently separated from his wife, who plays by Jenna Elfman.
Hysterical.
Actually.
Whoa, J.K. Simmons and Jenna Elfman?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't think they play so well.
He's way
each
older
other.
Than her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that.
Yeah, well, he's also not blind either.
Well, so. True. No, he is blind.
In the show.
In the real, yes. In real life, he's
in the
not
show,
blind.
Yes. In the show, yes. No, yeah. But we're not talking about real life. We're talking about his character.
Exactly.
Yes.
But he is playing. And it's actually, this is probably one of those shows I'll pick up and start watching. Unfortunately, it is on the same time as, let's see, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So we'll figure. Oh, guess what you forgot to mention? So I'll probably have to set two different TVs to do that. But so, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'll be watching both of these shows.
Nobody has two TVs.
Two TVs. The Following.
Yeah.
This is, oh. Yeah. You've seen recently.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, totally caught up. The Following, yes.
It
yes.
is absolutely just, it has had, it's a great show and it's maintaining the same level of effed upness as the first season.
Yes, I can agree with you on that.
And it has already been picked up for a third.
Okay, right.
So, it you know, of course, they're not going to, you know, kill the main character off or anything like that.
Well, see, that kind of dilutes things for me a little bit.
I know.
Because there needs to be something else. The concept of other cults that sprung up around him,
yeah.
I think is an interesting enough thing that you can approach. Because to be quite honest with you, after this last episode, mm-hmm. and we're doing a little bit of Jonestown,
yeah.
where we take over Jonestown.
Basically.
I'm feeling that we're close to, you know, we're teetering on the line of maybe becoming a little silly in trying to be so deep. Because it's almost not quite like Joe to want to go this way.
I think he, but I would disagree with you simply because
I could see a reason he would.
Because he wants that following.
Right.
He needs soldiers to do what he needs to do.
Be following.
he needs that following because he is a megalomaniac. He does need the attention paid onto himself.
I guess my point was that what got me the most about it was that he was willing to accept these people at this compound mm-hmm. instead of the usual more clever, more experienced, nuanced people that he had season one.
I agree with you, but simply because he just doesn't have the time. He's running.
Cliff Notes?
Yeah, well, yeah. He's running. He
the Cliff Notes following.
Yeah. He needs whoever he can get at that time
okay.
to set up something and to always, you know, send them out so he can always have that backup, that cache of resources from somebody else. Because he's always, like, calling somebody going, hey, right. Can you help me with this? Can you help me with this?
That's why he's going to have to actually die this season, or the only way, and this I know this is cheesy, the only way to, I think, to bring him back for a third season
mm-hmm.
would be that nobody knows he's alive because we have to do the soap opera thing of, you know, the plastic surgery to where he looks like somebody completely different. So we as the audience know, but they don't know. I don't know how they're going to keep this up, but I'm enjoying the ride right now.
Exactly. Let's see. I actually do have a new job. It is a part-time job right now.
Yeah?
I'll be working laser tag at Skate Nation Plus.
Huh.
Yes.
How'd you get that job, Bruce?
Basically, I have a friend who works there.
Yeah? You have a friend give you a job?
Yes.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always nice to have.
So you had to sleep with somebody to get a job?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Do you remember
that? He said a friend.
Yeah. Bruce.
You remember me, right?
Okay,
yeah.
Bruce.
And it's actually a legitimate question. It really is.
It really is.
No.
Okay.
All
right. So it's like, what does a laser tag person do, and what kind of expert qualifications did you bring to it? Security? Military? Is that what it was?
Yes, I think that's exactly what it was. Or the fact that I am an adult and who knows how to follow orders and actually do a job correctly.
Nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, friend.
Yeah. The last thing that I have, unfortunately, my dog Buddy got hit by a car last week. He is okay for the most part right now. He got away from my wife, my son, and he just kind of, hey, let's run away from everybody because it's a fun game, and then went, oh, truck. Yeah.
Like 18-wheeler or pickup truck?
Just a pickup truck.
No, but still.
Well, thankfully, just a pickup truck. Luckily, he only ended up with some scars and dislocated hip.
Oh, poor guy.
We, you know, brought him to the vet immediately. Really could only give him pain medication until he kind of came out of shock.
Mm-hmm.
Went back to the vet next morning, got put under, and tried to reset the hip. It didn't take, so we actually have to take him and get surgery. or he's going to end up being a three-legged dog.
Aww.
You can call him champion then.
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to call him tripod. Or
I didn't
anything.
Say tripod. I said champion.
I know. I'm not going to call him that. I'm not going to call him tripod. I'm not going to call him anything else like that. No.
You keep going from champion to tripod. Those two things champion have nothing to do with each other.
There is the three-legged dog on
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
That's
and he's a great
champion.
Dog. His name just happens to be champion.
Yep.
So that's end of the month. I have to take take my dog to the vet, and hopefully everything will come out all right. Which is on. I'm hoping.
Okay.
So let's see. Other than starting to work out again for the first time in like 5 months, that's pretty much been my geekiest week.
Okay, cool. Let's see. You forgot to tell everybody about the Guild.
Oh, yeah, we watched the...
They've got the, you know, the next season up on Netflix, the most current up on Netflix, okay. So pretty cool, where, you know, Codex gets to go work at the company. She gets to go work there. She gets a job there.
All right.
And, of course...
The hijink ensues.
Is it the...
I thought it was sixth.
Oh,
really?
I don't even know anymore, because, you know, and since it's Netflix, they don't show them in, like, episodes. It's basically just like watching one movie of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
Okay,
so,
all right.
It's hard to remember because they don't always have like the Christmas special, the Halloween special they didn't have on Netflix. You had to go online to get that. So
the Life Day special,
yeah, exactly. So very very difficult. But she goes to work for the company that makes the role playing game that they play so much. They enjoy.
Yeah, six and, seasons are currently out.
Wow, and of course the guildies. Well, they have to come get involved once they find out where she is and what she's working on. The new top secret possible underwater level. Hey now, and hilarity ensues.
Yeah, much hilarity ensues.
Good times?
Yeah.
All right. We've also watched one of the best, most horrific, hard-to-watch films I've ever seen in my entire life.
Showgirls.
No. No, 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 no. Because you can watch that with the commentary track, and it's awesome. No, that would be Viggo Mortensen in The Road.
Oh, yes.
The post-apocalyptic flick where the world is over. People are barely, nothing's growing. People,
there
everyone
is no food.
Dying. There's
everything
nothing.
Is burnt and gray. This movie brought to you by the color gray.
Yeah, if you thought that The Walking Dead was just too lighthearted.
Oh, Jesus.
You're saving two bullets, one for you to kill your child and one for you to kill yourself.
If you thought Children of Men was just, you know, too much of a romp. Yeah. The Road is one of the most difficult things you will ever watch, but it is incredibly worth it. It is fantastic performance. It's a horrific situation that will just F with your mind again and again to even try to imagine trying to deal with it in the first place. It's wow. Yeah, wow is the only word I know for it. It's quite good.
Yeah, I kind of blocked it out of my mind.
I know you did. Oh, yeah, it just
traumatizing.
There are no flowers to look at.
No, they were not at all. So rewatched The Game. This is David Fincher's The Game with Michael Douglas and Sean Penn.
That's a good movie.
It's a damn good movie.
I'm trying to remember that one.
Michael Douglas and Sean Penn are brothers. I guess there was a bit of an age difference there. And Sean Penn, since he's sort of Michael Douglas, uptight financial broker guy, rich guy all alone, blah, 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 decides to get him a unique birthday present. He gets him a game. There's a company called CRS that customizes and tailors games to specific individuals.
Oh, okay. I believe this.
Yes. And
and you don't know it's a game.
Well, they you know, you go in because he does the physical and fills out all the paperwork. They tell him to take a couple hours. And he spends all goddamn day getting up, get ready for this. And they call him the next day in the middle of a meeting and tell him, sorry, no, you can't do it. And then weird shit starts happening.
And then the game
starts. And then it starts escalating and escalating, and you just don't know exactly what's going on.
What's real and what's the game, and yeah, definitely interesting.
Yeah, it's a fantastic little film. An odd little movie.
What was that game called that...
It was called
People
Majestic.
Call you on the phone, yeah.
Majestic by Electronic Arts. Majestic, which was a computer game that I flippin' loved, where you could give them your email address, you could give them a fax number if you had it, you can give them a phone number for them to call you on.
Yeah.
When you first played the game, and they tell you what this is going to be, and you've signed up, and they tell you it takes 24 hours to process. So the next day you go in to check, and you find out that the company that makes this game that you're starting to play, it burned down. And then you start investigating, and when you do, weird shit happens, and you get phone calls, and you have to make phone calls. I had to hack a voicemail system of the company to get a password to lead to something. One of the greatest moments is when I found a weird picture with what looked like a little tiny robot, and I emailed it to this professor, and I got a call at midnight from this guy saying, what I saw, that's impossible. I don't know who this is, but I want nothing else to do with this. Leave me alone. Don't ever call me again. Turns out the next morning, that guy was found dead in a car crash the night before.
Oh.
This was such a great game.
That's a good game.
It really is.
That's
and they tell you, you will never meet anyone in real life. No. Don't do that. If anyone ever says, meet me in real life, it's not part of the game. No.
Yeah.
Don't
mean,
be stupid.
Safety protocols in place,
but it's
sure.
Beautiful. They had like a little chat room. You could chat with the players and try to figure stuff out. And one of the greatest moments is when I was trying to figure something out with somebody. And they're like, well, how do I know that you're really a person? They said that to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's a game with the
mind frack. Right? Completely
that
all
was
around.
A long time ago, but the movie kind of reminded me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I think in some of the later episodes, I believe Joey Pants got brought in as a character for the game. Okay. So, yeah, craziness. So I saw this movie called Twixt. This is directed by Francis Ford Coppola. You know Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, Frankie.
Right. But you might not, most people might not know that Francis Ford Coppola actually started out doing low-budget stuff, working around like with people like Roger Corman, and actually did something called Dementia 13. Twixt is more back to a low-budget, sort of independent type of, I guess it's supposed to be a horror movie? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what this movie
oh,
actually
that's not
is.
A good sign.
No. I thought about this movie for days afterwards, and it's actually kind of fascinating. It's probably one of the best performances I've seen from Val Kilmer in some time.
Wow.
Because Val Kilmer is in this.
Old Val Kilmer or new Val Kilmer?
One that I haven't seen before. One with a little bit of humor and that look of...
What year was it made? What year is the movie made?
Like last year.
Oh, okay. So older
Val really?
Kilmer. Yeah, it's within the last couple of years.
Oh, wow.
It's been the last couple of years. Which is crazy. He plays a writer, goes to a small town to do a book signing. The town that is so small, they don't have a bookshop. They got a couple of shelves up in the hardware store.
Okay.
Yeah, he meets the sheriff, played by Bruce Dern.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, who is an amateur writer himself and has a case here in town that he might be interested in that they start investigating. So I think it's actually more about the writing process than anything else, but there is a story, and so you got Val Kilmer, you got possible cult members, you got maybe vampires, and you got Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah, so now you got to see it.
You had me up to then.
No, that's what really sells it for you right there. Trust me, that's what really sells it for you. You also forgot Castle, other than the most recent episode.
Yeah, we have one on the DVR.
There was two we've watched since then, but the most recent one we had watched, not the one that you just saw this past Monday, but the previous Monday, was fantastic because they caught the guy in the first 5-10 minutes.
Excellent.
And then somebody came in and confessed to the same crime.
Of course.
With the exact same details.
Yeah.
And this is actually really cool.
And then when the third person came in and confessed with the exact same details that had not been
like
released.
Like details that only the killer would know.
Yeah. Yeah. How the guy fell, he was shot, the room, described the hotel room this guy was in perfectly, you know what happened because they found like a bottle of water on the ground.
Yeah.
Everyone described, he went to the fridge, he opened it up, he got a bottle of water, turned around and handed it to me, I shot him. This is exactly how it happened, and three people confessed to it, and all of them had it down perfect. It was a fantastic little episode. It really was. So I grouped on that one.
Yeah, it was fun.
No, that was okay. I thought you were picking that up to give us some detailed, in-depth analysis.
I'm just trying to sit back and make my back more comfortable.
Alrighty then. So I've beaten Alan Wake, the game I was talking about, the one that's sort of like a Stephen King story.
Yeah,
you play the writer. That's a good damn game. If you like a really good story-driven game, that's a pretty goddamn good game. It's a damn shame that it's just not first-person shooter enough for people, since it's a third-person action adventure, I suppose. It's not really a survival horror, but it's got creepy-ass moments. And remember me telling you about finding the pages and then seeing one that says I turned on the TV and saw myself babbling, and I told you I knew that was going to be coming at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was at the end. At the end of the movie, there I am babbling like I saw myself on the TV near the beginning of the flipping game.
Well, you know, that's a video game gives you that sense of satisfaction. You can go, yeah, I was right.
Yeah, but they were going to do another one, and it's not going to happen now because it didn't make it up, which is unfortunate. So what are you going to do? So you started watching Arrow as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got, four
I don't know where you made
it
into because I made it much further than you.
Yeah, so we did start watching Arrow finally. And I like it. I mean, I needed time to pass between Justin Hartley, Green Arrow, Smallville.
Right.
To embrace a new Arrow.
So
he's not blonde enough. But like if his hair was longer, it would be blonde.
Yeah, he still takes his shirt off enough, so he should be okay with it.
He's okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's all right. But like, I don't know. There's just something face. I don't know.
It's just... Yeah, he's too rugged. He's too rugged for you. He's not pretty boy enough.
Is that what it is?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't know.
What? Oh, please. You're so hot for him, I could reheat this chili in your cooch.
Yay!
Quick, get mad at me about something.
I hate when you use Pam drops on me.
What's up her gigantic giant ass?
Damn!
Got a couple of Archer drops. So,
yeah, of course you have to.
Yeah, yeah, well, you do, because there's so many goddamn good lines.
Oh, blow it out your ass.
I was hoping you'd do that.
Yeah, fucking love. Anyway, yeah. So, okay. Arrow, you having a good time?
Yeah.
There you go. All
so, right. You're still you're on season one.
Season one, so, yeah, yeah, she's only just a few episodes in. It was still surprising to, wait, you know who Tommy's dad is?
Yes.
Yes.
That was just what I
okay.
found out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So,
and,
so
you know, and John Barrowman was really the reason I wanted to watch it. And so it's nice to see him in there, and yeah, kind of a bad guy role.
Cool. Awesome. Let's say I watched a movie called Europa Report, which... not a found footage movie, but I guess technically counts as it. It is It is a space mission. It is a group of astronauts going to Europa to do studies on the surface, looking for possible any kind of signs of life or what the hell ever. And cameras are all in the spaceship, and of course people were watching. And then comes one point where transmissions stop.
And then you find out you're actually going to Eurasia?
See what you did there.
Or Uranus.
No. We as the audience get to see because eventually the transmission does resume and they were able to upload all the footage. So this is us watching this. And it is not a horror movie. Mm-hmm. It is a movie about people on a space mission. And I thought it was pretty damn good. Because it's okay. It is
so
actually,
not Event Horizon.
It is not Event Horizon. It is not. It is not an action-adventure movie. It is astronauts going to do a mission.
Mm-hmm.
On the moon, you know, on
Europa. They boldly go and something else comes along.
Something like that as well. I also watched Texas Chainsaw. Do you remember the most recent one they did? The Texas Chainsaw 3D that I think came out last year, maybe?
No. Is anybody in that one?
Well, that would surprise you because I thought this was just another continuation of Michael Bay's remake, how you had Texas Chainsaw and then the beginning or whatever.
Yeah.
This is not a sequel to those, nor is this a reboot. This is a sequel to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Huh.
They show actual footage from it. Actors who were in that movie are in this movie.
Wow.
Yeah. How about Gunnar Hansen has a special appearance in it as well. So there's some legitimization of it. And it starts out with a really interesting concept and a story about what happened when Sally got back. And of course, the sheriff shows up and it's Texas. So you got a mob of wild rednecks wanting to burn things.
Of course, because it's Texas.
It's Texas.
It's Texas and they were drinking. I'm sorry, that's just how you're portrayed in movies. And it was the 70s. At least it was the 70s when that movie first came out. However, 19, 20 years pass by in this film, and there is a scene where a cop is walking through with a smartphone showing the sheriff back at the station what he's seeing. And I'm like,
hold on.
Hold it. And that's when I noticed whenever they referenced what happened originally, they always cover up the year. So you never see the year.
Mm-hmm.
So they played a little loose with that. And then it takes a weird turn and goes almost to something that's not quite as interesting. I wanted to like it more than I did. But I was surprised at how much I did like it.
Okay, so it did surprise you a little bit how well.
It did. I was expecting it to maybe be a 3 or 4. I'd say I'd give it a 6, but if they had taken one more swipe at it, it might have got up to a 7, 7.5.
Wow.
Because it had a chance. There's a story in there.
There was potential.
There was potential in the story.
Okay.
So there was that. Oh, and I know we're going to be talking about it, but yeah, my band's going to be playing at RavenCon.
Yeah, I got that in my notes too.
Oh, well, never mind then. So I don't even have to talk about that. So I guess, that's pretty much been my geekiest week.
From Alderaan to Krypton. From Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor. From their lips to your basement, to your underground lair. It's GRD News.
We're going to RavenCon.
Yeah, we are.
Yay.
Yes, we do.
That's our next convention all together as a group, and we'll have a live show, and it's going to be super fun times. If you haven't already registered, it is the weekend of April the 25th through the 27th.
Yep.
And the same location it's been for the past few years, right outside of Richmond, Virginia. And
although the hotel does have a new name.
Yes.
So.
Oh, I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, they were a double tree or they're now a double tree?
Something like that.
Well, there were more than two trees there. Anyway, it's going to be super fun. And I highly recommend that you come and hang out with us at RavenCon.
Especially whenever it is Saturday that Paradox Machine is going to take the stage and rock out. What?
Yeah, and Friday is my birthday. Not this Friday.
No.
That Friday.
The Friday of RavenCon, yes.
So we've got the GRD show that's going to be at noon.
Right.
Your band's going to be playing
sometime
in the afternoon. And then we are going to be doing the Masquerade.
Yeah, I just learned that. I saw that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I got an email a couple days ago saying, hey, you want to do, you're going to be doing it, right? It's like, yes, we'd be honored to.
Sure.
Yay. Yeah. I'm on some panels, too. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, they haven't set up for the panels yet. We don't know what the hell we're doing.
God, I think did I sign up for a panel? I need to check. I did not?
They haven't done it yet. They added more guests, and they haven't rearranged the schedule. And yeah, emails. Who reads emails?
Cool.
And let's see. One more thing for GRD News. The Oscar picks. I want it.
You did. Yep. And it was close. It was like something important 7-6 to 5 or yeah, something like that. It was a very, very close competition, but the Bruce is the winner.
Okay. Well, if it was something that people actually cared about, that means something. What else do we have in news?
But if you had won.
We also have an app.
Something cared about.
If you haven't already downloaded the app.
Do you see how well I did considering I did it 5 minutes before the show?
That's freaking show prep. But yeah, so we have an app, and if you haven't already gotten it from the Android Marketplace, Play Store, whatever it is that it's called, you should go and you should pick that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And shop for stuff at our Cafe Presto. And, you know, coming soon before too long, I just started to think that, like, warm weather pub crawl, we did that in like July timeframe. So maybe I'll start to look at dates for that.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Coming up soon.
Awesome indeed.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News.
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. You know, about 90 years ago, Beowulf, the 11th century poem,
Beowulf,
was translated by some small name writer. Maybe you've heard of him, little obscure guy, J.R.R. Tolkien.
I've heard of him.
What?
Yeah. Christopher Tolkien says that his father enjoys, you know, entering the imagined past of the heroes because they drop some hints about who Beowulf was and what he did before.
Grendel was an orc.
Telling of how, you know, Beowulf comes to the aid of a Danish king, which was Hrodgar or something. God, it's been so long.
Meow, meow.
Yeah, meow, meow. how he slayed Grendel, and of course, what happens there as well. But Beowulf, the longest epic poem in old English.
Penis is swinging all around.
God, that's stupid ass movie. I swear to God.
Check on the bucket list. I said penis on the show.
Nice. Anyway, it survives in a single manuscript housed in the British Library, the original version of it. So Tolkien called this the story, said it was laden with history leading back to the dark heathen ages beyond the memory of song, but not beyond the reach of imagination. And he translated it just as a thing. He never really had any thoughts about publishing it or whatever.
He was bored.
Yeah, he just I'm going to do this. This is something I want to do.
It's a
hobby. So this is going to be published, of course, because, well, now you can put Tolkien in pretty much anything. But that, to me, is fascinating, that not something that he sat down just to write for other people, but something he did just for himself. It just sounds fascinating to me. And, of course, it gives kids another chance to read Beowulf, maybe this time a little easier than it is when you do it in English class.
Still probably not, but who knows?
Probably not. Yeah. And I'm sure, since it's Tolkien in the story, plenty of penis will be swinging.
It's not George R. R. Martin, though.
No. Well, then it'd be
wiener,
floppy.
Wiener, wiener,
floppy.
Wiener, wiener,
floppy going
wiener,
around.
Okay, in my new story, well, you remember in Red Dwarf where Lister had robotic fish?
I do.
And they looked so realistic that the cat would mistake them for real fish and always try to eat them. Yep. Well, our technology is actually kind of close to there. It's actually a whole new field of robotics, or a subgenre of the robotics field, soft robotics. I don't know if you've heard about this, but they've got soft robotic fish.
I'm familiar with it.
There's a porn joke involved.
Yep.
That move like the real thing. Robotic fish, they can change direction almost as rapidly as a real fish. They don't just have soft exteriors, they're also powered by fluid flowing through flexible channels. Say that 3 times fast.
That.
The self-contained autonomous soft robot is capable of rapid body motion and a fish that can actually execute an escape maneuver, convulsing its body to change direction just a fraction of a second, like a real fish. And it's really cool. It kind of looks like neoprene on the outside, and they've got a couple of different pictures here that are very cool. And just in general, you know, this kind of new developments in robotics are always just very interesting to me. Go science.
Do they get tired and just start floating at the top?
Only when they've eaten all of the other robotic fish in the tank.
You gotta change the battery, I think.
Yeah.
All right, Ghostbusters 3. It's still going on, even though the loss of one of the stars and now the loss of its director. As you already know, that Harold Ramis died a few weeks ago, and now legendary director Ivan Reitman is relinquishing his role as the director. Reitman, who directed the first two Ghostbusters, as well as a bunch of other films that were just absolutely amazing,
yep.
Has been attached as the director for the long gestating third installment of the franchise for years, but told Deadline recently that he decided to move to producer-only roles after the death of his friend and the Ghostbuster writer and actor.
He's basically like, I don't want to do this without him anymore, but I have to still do something.
Yeah, pretty much that's what he said. I'm not going to say how many Ghostbusters will have been in the new cast, but basically he said, yeah, I just don't want to direct the film if my friend's not going to be helping me write it.
So if I can take this moment again to say, you know, Bill Murray, we love you, but you were really a dick about this. You really were.
How so?
Bill Murray kept this from happening for years.
Okay. All right. That part, yes. Yeah. Okay.
We could have had this. They would have made this. It would
have
happened.
It's not like he killed Harold Ramis. I'm just saying he was a dick.
I don't know that. I don't know where the hell he was.
Well, I was
thinking... zombie Bill Murray.
I was thinking the Oscar tribute he did when he was presenting one of the awards
right.
for something, and the camera came back to him and was like, and you forgot one person, you forgot Harold Ramis, you know, actor, director, and just, you know.
Yeah, but he didn't go, I'm sorry everyone for screwing up Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, well.
At least we have...
He really did not want to wear that proton pack.
At least we have the video game, so...
This is true.
So there was that. Yeah.
This is true.
Oh, what the hell are you going to do? So that's news to us and could be news to you. And I don't know what that sound was. Was that you?
It was R2D2.
Crazy. So come follow us at Facebook, Twitter, and of course the forums at geekradiodaily.com to learn about this and so many other things.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. So do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'm loading.
Then I will go first. Criminal. Love Fiona in that video. Did I pay to see RoboCop twice? Yes. I don't know why, though. My nephew does work at the theater. That's from Ryan. Whose stream of conscience went from my love of singing Fiona Apple's Criminal to the reboot of RoboCop and Kick Puncher that he paid to see twice and apparently twice. Enjoyed quite a bit.
Well, good. I've got one. It's called, this is from Bill in Oregon, and he says, Geek Alert, calling all geeks, FIRST, First Team 2196, the Yak Attack.
Okay.
They're a Newport High School robotics team in Newport, Oregon, and they need help. They're very rural high school geeks calling for tech support. They're looking for technology companies to support them. And FIRST stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology.
Science!
So they've been doing young engineering programs, science geeks, all kinds of STEM and STEAM types of things. They give them access to over $18 million of scholarships. So if you work for a tech company that is looking for a nonprofit organization or a group to support, write to robots@engineer.com, and that is from Bill.
Nice. That's really cool. So if you've got a note, you can send one to us because we don't have any voicemails. It's podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinchers, all at geekradiodaily.com. Or if you would like to send a voicemail, you can do that by calling
510-GRD-CREW.
Apes don't read philosophy.
Yes, they do, Otto. They just don't understand it.
No, they don't.
No.
But they ain't got to. They just have to listen to the pretty words that are read to you. Read to you? Who would read words to you? Well, tons of people, because there are so many free stories. True stories? Fake stories?
Fake stories.
Sort of documentaries of words, if you will. There are so many things for you to enjoy absolutely free at patiobooks.com. They've got so much crazy coolness, like...
The Secret Beneath the Ice by Andrew M. Cohen. Let's see. When the thought ship and its pilot...
Lollipop. Sorry. I'm very sorry.
You cannot interrupt Bruce.
Wow.
Your cadence. Your cadence right there. You're like, the thought ship. I'm sorry. The cadence was there. I apologize.
When a thought ship and its pilot finally reach Aveni, the shimmering glam... God, I cannot speak today.
I'm sorry.
The shimmering gem that is the Western Spiral Arm, they barely have a chance to marvel at its sapphire force before they are ambushed by a mysterious enemy far beyond their understanding. In the midst of the attack, the fragment is sliced off the ship, causing the tumble out of control down to the planet's surface. The ice-covered continent to the south is the only viable landing site, and what hides beneath may give them the chance to escape before isolation drives them mad. Now, this is a prequel story to The Truth Beyond, but it is The Secret Beneath the Ice.
And the next one is called Dead Beautiful, and this is by Melanie Dugan. And it goes, what if the man you love is the god of the dead? That's the problem facing Persephone. Her mother, Demeter, is a level one goddess who wants Persephone to marry Daryl, the demigod of home repairs, and stay close to home. Her father, Zeus, the top god on Mount Olympus, is a bit grumpy these days, fed up with all the demands being made on him. And Hades, well, now that she's getting to know him, Hades isn't what Persephone expected at all. He's handsome, smart, sensitive, and witty. In a word, hot. Beautiful, intelligent, and strong-willed, Persephone is in line to be a level one goddess herself someday. The problem is, she's dissatisfied and restless. This new take on the classic myth is smart, sexy, fast-moving read. Dead Beautiful explores the many faces of love, explains why there are four seasons, and reveals what really happens after death. So that was Dead Beautiful by Melanie Dugan. I think I might check this one out.
Nice. There's also Infinity Machine by Paul J. Joseph. It is book five of the Through the Fold series. Sally's job as UN Space Commissioner gets quite interesting when a ship full of time-displaced people is discovered in the Atlantic. This also enables Sally to lead an all-important peace mission to Baltan, not Baltar, different. The Cold War with Baltan. No, the Cold War with Baltan is finally showing signs of ending with the return of Mercy Collins, and Sally spends a year on the city trying to forge a new relationship with Earth. But now her associate commissioner arrives with a new problem. New Ontario, a planet Sally has visited before, is suddenly becoming important again. The cruel masters who rule the planet have apparently been displaced by a band of rebels with mysterious powers. Is it the Force? I don't know. Growing on the surface of this world is a massive structure that is generating enormous power. Earth wants answers, and Sally's being asked to help, but she won't do it alone. No human is immune to the master's influence, but perhaps non-humans would be. Sally accelerates another project she's been quietly overseeing. She contacts Ian, who has been tasked to make first contact with the Sizzix, because I don't know how to spell S-triple-Z-triple-Y-triple-X. How do you say that? I don't know. Sizzix. Like Sizzix Road.
Yeah.
It's a peaceful, if unusual, species on the other side of a fold beyond the asteroid belt. Sally must put a strain on this new friendship to ask for help, and we could easily deteriorate into a war. Dun, 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 dun. So Sally's out there having adventures, all kinds of crazy stuff, so much of that and more, all available absolutely for free.
Free?
Totally free.
Free.
Over at PolyBuddyBooks.com. Thank you, Gollum. Thank you. I appreciate you stopping by. That's good stuff.
All right.
Okay, creeping me out. So I'm going to take a break, and you sit right there, and then, of course, we're going to get to something that's not quite sports, but it's not quite geek. Sure it is. It's awesome. We'll be right back. Episode 218.
Two longtime fans of two Bionic shows discuss an episode in detail every 2 weeks with one guest host. The $6 Million Man, the Bionic Woman. The mythology, a look behind the scenes, those sound effects, and the fashions. Oh my God, the fashions. Cyborgs, a Bionic podcast, hosted by John S. Drew and Paul K. Bisson. Find us at chronicriff.com/cyborgs or subscribe on iTunes.
Hi, kids. Space Ghost here, and you are barking a happy tune with Geek Radio Daily.
Oh, what the heck is that?
I don't know, but they sure smell like bad cup of soup.
Pick some teams. Oh, I got 20 winners in my bracket. I'm losing. Thought that I'd be cruising. March Madness is awful.
Yo, walk into the room like, what up? I got a big chalk to mark down my winning bracket, cause I'm big talk. My sweet 16 is so dang bossy. People like,
dang, can I get a copy?
Rolling with Ohio State, Syracuse, and Zaga greats. Barty rolling on, and Northwest was Gator Bay. Kansas, Louisville, repping number one. Okay, probably should have picked an upset. Wisconsin's too late. Ole Miss. Ha, they were SEC champs. Watching it dropping at lower seeds, we looking confident. Passing up invitations to partying because I'm locked in it. This journey has me stuck on the couch watching television. Screaming on upset indies for making all the wrong decisions. Think I'm gonna pick LaSalle. Think I'm gonna pick LaSalle. No, for real, Kansas State. Did Bruce Weber call timeout? Tough luck. I guess there's always next year. Same goes to Lowboys and Hoyas and Panthers. I had a 15 seed. I picked a 15 seed. No
just kidding, Florida Gulf Coast busted bracket C. Hello, hello, can I get my money back? Betting on this tourney was a good idea, gone bad. Gone bad. Yeah, we picking teams.
I'm gonna pick some teams. Oh, I got 20 winners in my bracket. I'm losing, thought that I'd be cruising. March Madness is awful.
I don't know what the cruising part is, but sure, that's awesome. Hey, welcome back to GRD's Weekly, episode 218.
That was funny. I liked that.
I'm glad you did. I thought you would. I figure, you know, play to your audience, and that's an easy grab for me right there. So yes, it's March, and I'm sorry that you have to deal with us liking football. Some people have a problem with that, but you also have to deal with the further problem of me loving college basketball.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm from the ACC, deep in the heart of the ACC. It's in my blood. There's no way around it.
Apparently now I'm in the A-10. VCU, VCU's my team.
Okay, good for you.
I graduated from there. I've been cheering for VCU since I've been going to college, so yeah.
Wow, so it's good, my team. 15, 20 years now.
Not that long. maybe about 9.
So, of course, this time of year, this is where it happens, where people fill out their silly little brackets, and they break the law at every office you've ever worked at because it's illegal to have a bracket pool. But we do it anyway.
Well, it's not illegal. It's legal to bet on it.
It is illegal. It is gambling. It is illegal.
If there's money
unless
exchanging.
Unless you live in a state. That allows, you know, but whatever. Yeah. So people have their brackets. And you might remember last year that we decided to come up with our own little brackets. What did we do, Bruce?
Last year we came up with a bracket with the best weapon of all science fiction of all time. And yes, the Green Lantern Power Ring did come up with the winner that time. So
really?
Shushing.
How about that?
Yeah. This year we decided to go a little bit of a different route. We're going to still do pick 32 teams, but they are going to be spaceships, starships, whatever it happens to be. And the criteria we are using is not just who would win in a fight. That's not the criteria we're picking from, because believe me, some of these ships would just not have a chance in hell. We're picking for maybe that being part of the reason, but the coolness factor. What would you rather be in? What would you rather be caught dead in? You know, what would you...
Would you rather drive?
That changes my whole list.
Well, I mean, I sort of was going at it from a take-it-into-battle kind of mode. Mm-hmm. But that being said, some of my reasons for why I thought something would win over something else wasn't always firepower.
Yeah, this is completely subjective. You can have your own. This is not based on any sort of scientific data whatsoever. That doesn't exist because they're all spaceships.
And since there's 32 of them, we will leave out your favorite, so feel free to write us and tell us what jerks we are.
Yes.
Yes.
And I did, as you've gone through the list, you've seen, I've put a little... bit of everything in there.
There was
and
one
if
or two.
I knew more about computer programming, I would have made like an interactive one that we could have put up and everybody could have played and we could have seen.
Well, I can take this one and put it on the Facebook page.
Hurry.
Yeah, but it didn't have where you could actually type into the
fields.
Yeah,
I know. I just realized that.
That's okay.
I got to say, I was impressed with one or two things that you did include. I was like, oh, because you're like, okay, I'm sending it. I'm like, if this isn't on there, but it was. So I'm very, very
okay.
Curious.
You'll have to let me know which one of those are. Ooh. And unfortunately, I can't, unfortunately, type that one right now.
That's all right.
Somebody's going to have to write these down, unfortunately, now.
Write what down?
The who
we
on.
Actually pick. I'll write it down.
Okay.
I'll write it in a different color.
I'm not writing shit. Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't do it on the computer.
No problem.
All right, so we have the Planetary Division and the Solar Division because, hey, Scott Sigler, we're stealing your stuff.
Congrats on your book deal, by the way.
Oh, yeah, 3-book deal.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, he's going to be fat stacked.
Don't forget the little people.
Yeah, the one who, you know, help you out.
The ones that didn't make fun of your accent, your lady accent, too badly.
Oh, wait, that's not us then.
I said too badly.
Oh, too badly. All right, no, let's get to it.
Okay, Planet Division is going to be the one on the left side if you're looking at your screen. Oh. It's going to be the NCC-1701-D versus the Planet Express ship. Who you got?
Planet Express is a fun ship, but come on. That's the Enterprise D, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the Enterprise D.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no contest here. I mean, it would be fun. You'd need less of a crew to drive the Planet Express.
This is true.
But would I rather have 100% any incarnation of the Enterprise over Planet Express?
Not the first one. Not the
NX-01? Oh.
Yeah, I'd rather have the Planet Ship than that one.
Wow.
It could go faster. The Planet Express ship could go faster.
Yeah, probably could.
No, it definitely could.
Yeah. Let's see. So we have that one. Next pairing is going to be the Satellite of Love versus the Titan from Titan AE.
Now, see, obviously, you know, you're playing to me, and I thought about this one long and hard. I really did.
Yeah.
But I do have to go with the Satellite Love for a number of reasons. First off, you've got the theater.
Which entertainment.
So you've got that.
How about the Hands of Manos? Do you need those?
It's right there on the ship.
Oh, yeah.
Manos right there. The Titan Project, if you looked at it from, you know, a fighting aspect, the Satellite Love does have some defenses to it.
Yes.
It really does. And the Titan Project, it ran away because it had all the scientific stuff. So I don't know how well that would last. And I didn't get to see anything other than it being a big museum for test tubes.
Yeah, but it ends up being an entire planet. And, you know, kind of saving the human race. I mean, it's not really intended as a weapon, but, like, you know, in the circumstances that exist in the movie.
And neither will the Genesis Project. Same way. You get a weapon you can only use once.
So
what did you put?
Yeah, I'm going with Satellite of Love.
All right, well, I'm fine with that.
Nice. Absolutely. Good all times right. there. Because you never know who's going to drop by.
Yeah, you never know.
You just never know. I mean, Gamera dropped by once.
Near the box of humdingers.
Gamera, he's friend of children.
Rommel dropped by one time.
All right, next pairing is the White Star from Battlestar, Babylon 5,
right.
And the Borg Cube.
If I have a spaceship, if I want a spaceship that I'm going to take out there, the Borg Cube, efficiency?
Oh, God, yes.
I mean,
this was where battle came into play.
Right.
100%. I want the Borg Cube.
If I have the Borg Cube, anything that I would like to have on the Borg Cube to make my life better, I could get because I have the Borg Cube.
But I'd want to retain my individual identity. I could be Locuta
of
Borg.
I'm not being a Borg.
Or the Queen.
Oh, no.
If they all did what I said, that'd be okay.
And now, mind you, I do like the design and the capabilities of the White Star.
It's an awesome ship.
Yeah, but I'm still going to go Borg Cube.
It would have beat a lot of other contenders, I think, here in the category, but it went up against the Borg in the first round, and sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Yep.
They got assimilated.
All right, you have the Andromeda versus the Serenity. I'm going Serenity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if you got to also have the crew of the Serenity, you could win just about. I mean, you could survive anything. You could survive Reavers. You could survive anything.
Kaylee is down there making sure the engines are humming along and she's enjoying strawberries.
Captain Mal is there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is.
Going with that. So definitely the Serenity.
I'll be in my bunk.
I'm also in a world where Wash never died. So.
True.
Pre-Serenity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now you have
the Andromeda. Okay, folks, I know. The Andromeda, it is a great ship. Really is.
Ooh.
But it doesn't have as good a theme song. So there you go.
No, exactly.
It's not a leaf in the wind.
No. It's not as shiny.
No, definitely not. All right. Well, the Andromeda is very shiny. It's very, very shiny.
In the literal sense, man.
All right, you have the SDF-1 Macross versus the Delta Flyer. I'm definitely going FDF Macross here.
Really?
Yes. Okay,
explain to me why.
It can turn into a big-ass robot and blow stuff up. It's huge. It's still cool-looking. I'm sorry. The Delta Flyer is very, very cool-looking, but the Macross is just damned cool.
Now, is it because specifically the giant robot, is that what tipped it over? If it was not for the giant robot aspect, how would you go?
Probably with the Delta Flyer.
See, Delta Flyer all the way. Because, and this is nothing against you. This is not a personal attack. I want you to understand that. Just the overall aspect. My penis is not small enough for me to need a giant freaking robot.
Well, the Delta Flyer is basically a shuttlecraft, though.
Yeah, but it's a tricked out shuttlecraft. Look what they did to it.
I know.
It is. It is a tricked out shuttlecraft.
And people don't suspect it. You've
it's
got
great
the
for some
on
missions.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I'm just going to be pimping around the planets,
if I can turn into a giant robot and destroy things, people are going to want to come fight me. And with the Delta Flyer, I can cruise my own way, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But if anybody else wants to come fight you, I'm still going to go with the Macross.
Okay.
But
it turns into a robot.
Okay, go for it.
It's very cool.
Which one are you going with?
I don't know. I mean, I had originally...
You are the tiebreaker
You
here.
Just said...
All right, I'm going with Macross.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
I knew that was going to win. That's why I had to vote for the Delta Flyer. Because I knew you bitches were going to make a robot win it.
Okay. The Millennium Falcon versus Moya from Farscape.
Millennium Falcon.
The Millennium Falcon.
Yeah,
100%. We don't even need to talk about this anymore.
I'm not going for a living ship that is driven by a Muppet.
It can go less than 10... What? No. No, don't hate on the Muppets.
No, I still am not going to go with a living ship.
Muppet is driving. How can that be?
The Falcon, you got to love the Falcon because it's been patched together so many times. There's love in that ship.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
fast.
The history. It's the fastest hunk of junk in the verse. I'm telling you, in the galaxy.
In the galaxy.
Look at me mixing up
yeah,
my...
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it could make that Kessel run.
Yeah. When the writer doesn't know the difference between space and time.
There was a Star Wars short fan film that interviewed somebody back when this was Geek Label. Wow. Had a scene in their fan film that explained what that was. He found a shortcut through space.
Still doesn't make the ship faster.
But it made it in less than...
Yeah.
Because it's a distance. Yeah. So it did make it in less than...
Time, yeah.
In less distance.
There we go.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
The Millennium Falcon is flipping awesome.
Yeah, we're going with that one.
And you can do some really cool moves just by slightly drifting left.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Wow, the ship... Okay, you have the UNCS Infinity Class, which is from Halo.
Yes, it is.
Versus the JMC Mining Ship from Red Dwarf.
Now, see... Right. Now... This one's a tough one. Because the Infinity Ship obviously has more power.
Obviously
has more power.
Yes.
And it has Cortana.
Yes.
If Master Chief is with us.
If Master Chief's with us.
Which I do believe. But is it the Dwarf or is it just one of those type of ships?
It's the Dwarf.
Oh, see, if it's the Dwarf, I got to go with the Dwarf. I had to go with the Dwarf. The boys from the Dwarf had to go with the boys from the Dwarf.
All right.
I got Holly. I can walk up and get as many fish dinners as I want. I don't want fish dinners, but I could have that.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, since I talk to people other than people I hate, I'd get a much better hologram. Hopefully.
Okay.
Yes. Hopefully, I would be your hologram.
Hopefully.
Yay.
Yay.
Hopefully. You do talk to me a lot.
I do.
Yeah. Sometimes I even listen.
You listen, yeah.
But I'm
hey now.
I have to also go with the Dwarf. Nice. Yeah.
So we need your vote, Bruce.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because the other one, it's an aircraft carrier. I mean, it's definitely got weapons and stuff like that, but it's not the Dwarf.
Boys and the Dwarf have some interesting weapons as well. Plus, you know, Starbug is there in case the Dwarf goes away. We've got another ship there, so that's handy.
Got a backup.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, you've got plenty of other ships. You've got Pelicans and everything else in the...
Yeah,
but that's okay.
But it's Holly is still with you if you're on Starbug.
Okay. All right. The last team in the Planetary Division is going to be the TIE Fighter versus the TARDIS.
No contest. It's the TARDIS. 100%.
There is no way I would ever want a TIE Fighter over most of the things on here, let alone a TARDIS.
Yeah.
If I was a crazy Marine... Because a crazy Marine would love a ship with no shields, with no eject system, that you have to go and come back or else. That's the only way I could see that you would approve of that over the TARDIS.
Yeah, I do have problems with the TARDIS, which I'll get into later rounds with. Uh-huh. But definitely I'm going to go with the TARDIS.
You think it's going to make it past the first round?
You think?
You just threw up the sacrificial TIE Fighter because you knew, right?
Yeah, pretty well. It was
that's the 15-1 seed, right?
Right.
There.
But the thing is, I actually did this
occasionally happen.
But I did this completely randomly.
Okay.
I did not look at.
You didn't seed the teams based on their actual pre-tournament strength.
No.
How they did in the regular season.
Yeah, exactly. No, I did not at all.
Okay.
All right. So now we have the Solo Division. Starting at the top of the cluster, we have the Viper, which is from Battlestar Galactica, versus the City Destroyer Invasion Ship. From Independence Day 4.
Independence Day 4?
Well,
they made
ID4.
Four of those songs?
Well,
okay, I know. I'm being a jerk. I want a Viper. Holy God, I can turn that thing on a dime. I want a Viper.
Yeah.
Holy Jesus, I get to go back and like drink a lot and play whatever their version of poker was. I want a Viper.
You know what?
Get to shower with Starbuck. I want a Viper.
You'll get the Bert Benedict version, though.
If that's the price I got to pay.
Wow.
What?
Go through him to get to Katie Sackhoff?
If I have to shower with the man, I showered with 40 guys for like a month and a half. I was in the military.
Oh, I thought you were implying more than just a shower.
No, I was talking about the shower. That's all I said. That's all I said. You hear what you want to hear sometimes. So you disagree? You want the big old destroyer?
I don't know. What did you say?
I actually went with the Viper as well, simply because the City Destroyer really didn't do much other than came... Set in front of top of Houston and then went boom.
And it's subject to being taken over by a Mac. So
I also put the Viper. I mean, maneuverability, more fun to drive.
Yeah, I mean,
certainly, you know, gonna have more.
And you can pick up chicks with that thing.
Because it's the closest to the ship from Wing Commander. It's like the Wing Commander ship. You go out there fighting some Kilrathi and good stuff. Although you would have to be in space mutiny for a tiny bit. But that's neither here nor there.
All right. I have the mothership. Unfortunately, I don't see where... You don't scroll over. This had, when I was putting these things together, it would let me do that, unfortunately. Versus, let's see, let's go with the mothership from V. Why not?
Why not?
Versus the shadow ship from Babylon 5.
See,
I'm going shadow ship, because that is just a cool looking ship. It's really, it's got the firepower, and it's a badass spider thing. It's cool.
Oh, it is cool. I didn't have time to Google every single one of these beforehand, and I knew most of them. I mean, don't take my geek card or anything like that, but that is a pretty cool one. I think I technically wrote down the mothership just because, I don't know, it just seemed like the most sci-fi word on the whole page to me. I just love, you know, I'm on the mothership, and I don't know. So, I mean, but I'm perfectly fine going with the shadow ship.
It's absolutely
shadow
ship.
It really is cool looking. I mean, it does look like a flying insect in space. It is scary.
It is so a shadow. It's one of the few not streamlined. It's a ship that's just the way it looks.
Yeah. It is the way it looks.
Yeah. I like that.
All right. Now, mind you, this is the one that I did look at before and go, hey, that is a good pairing. It's an because X-Wing.
It's a one seed and a 15 seed.
It's a X-Wing versus the Death Star.
Well, this is easy as hell. It's the X-Wing that I want. Because the X-Wing can blow up the Death Star.
Yeah, but, okay, it's not necessarily one X-Wing piloted by Luke Skywalker who happens to be able to find the exhaust port.
They all knew where the exhaust port was.
Well, maybe this is the fixed Death Star that plugged the hole.
Well, they put a little cardboard over top of it.
Even the second one had a different type of thermal exhaust port to fly through much
further.
It also
had a bunch of holes in it, too.
They were still building it.
What do you think people of Alderaan would have wanted? Too soon?
They would want an X-Wing, I think. They would want an X-Wing. Like, it's the same thing like for a Viper. It's just an X-Wing is a much cooler ship. If I'm going to tool around and look like a badass, I think I can do that more in an X-Wing.
Yeah.
I can look like Hitler if I want the Death Star. Sure.
Oh.
Okay, fine. So the Death Star doesn't gas people. Fine.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, when we were talking about straight up firepower destruction capability,
yeah, definitely,
I mean,
Death
blew
Star.
Up a planet.
Yeah.
So what is your
had to
vote
recharge.
Here?
Yeah. Let's see. We're gonna go. I'm gonna go with X-Wing simply because of that. I mean, for firepower, for something that if I had to have something to tool around the galaxy, yeah, I probably would go with the Death Star. But
yeah,
just for coolness factor, I'm gonna go with the X-Wing.
I mean, I would want to have a Death Star. I mean, I don't know if that makes me a little bit evil, but I would really want a Death Star.
No, it does.
Busted my whole bracket because I had the Death Star going all the way to the finals.
Really? You're a crazy person. You should have known that wasn't gonna happen.
It was an upset.
Maybe you should go do some practice. Maybe try to shoot some Womp Rats or something in your T-16 Skyhopper. Okay, yes?
All right, next bracket. It's going to be the space battleship Yamamoto versus the Covenant Empire ships.
Bruce, you don't get this very often. You don't. But slow clap.
For the Yamamoto?
The Yamamoto.
Yeah.
The Yamamoto.
I had to put that in there.
You're goddamn right you had to put the Yamamoto in there. I would have had to have punched you in the face with this bottle of Fireball. Half
How
bottle of
punch?
Fireball. Do you want to see?
No.
Space Battleship Yamamoto.
Yeah.
The Yamamoto is an amazing ship.
Okay, if you don't realize this, think Star Blazers.
Star Blazers, kids.
That's the ship.
Hey, American late 70s, early 80s kids, Star Blazers.
That's the ship.
The one that looks like, and I know it's silly, but an aircraft carrier in space.
Yeah, it looks like a battleship.
It does. It's a battleship
with a hole in the front.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you ever see the live action one? They did a live action Space Battleship Yamamoto.
They're doing another one, aren't they?
Yeah, they probably are, because it's awesome. It's flipping awesome.
No, I've never seen it, unfortunately.
It's incredible. And there's tons of cool shit on the ship, but yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
No.
Definitely.
No way. Sorry, hi, by the way.
I didn't really know either one of these, so I'm fine with the Yamamoto.
Good.
All right.
Good.
Next on the list.
You have the Executioner, which is the Super Star Destroyer.
Right.
And Nell. Now, if you don't remember Nell, Nell is from the Battle Beyond the Stars. This looks like a hammerhead shark with tits.
Yeah, it does. It really, really does.
Now I gotta see this.
Yeah, you gotta take a peek at that.
Just go Battle Beyond the Stars. That's what you gotta look for. This is the
because if you search Nell, you'll get Jodie Foster.
Yeah. Or somebody else. This is the ship that when you were going through puberty, you wanted because it had tits.
It didn't really, did it?
Yes. Wait till you pull out the picture.
So I'm guessing then that you're voting for the Nell Bruce. Is that what we're saying?
No. You know,
wow.
She just got it. Told you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the 70s, okay?
It's bright orange and it definitely has boobies.
Yes, it does. Yes, it
wow.
does.
Wow. All right, boobs for the win.
But that's a scrappy effing ship right there.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to remember the movie.
Who piloted that ship?
I don't remember.
George Peppard.
No, he was the cowboy. He had another ship.
Oh, he did have another ship.
Oh!
Son of a whore.
It doesn't say in my Google image search.
It doesn't matter. You know That's what? A scrappy damn ship.
We have to do a commentary for Battle Beyond the Stars.
Possibly, sure.
Yeah,
see that?
We've got it. That's right. amazing fun time.
So Nell moves on.
And that's not
who you were voting for?
You know what? Honestly, no. But just thinking about it, it's like, you know what? It's just fun.
You know what that is? I gotta go back and do that one. Look at me. Shit. Yeah.
Okay. Now we have the Discovery 1 from 2001, A Space Odyssey, and the USS Voyager.
The Discovery.
Okay.
I'm going to have the Discovery on this one because Voyager, the holodeck, tried to kill me too goddamn many times.
Most of the Discovery is a jogging track.
Yeah, but it's a real space station. It is the inspiration for the satellite of love.
Wow, the holodeck trying to kill you, but Hal doesn't...
I'm smarter than
Hal,
that.
Yeah, well...
And look where you get to go. Jesus Christ, you get to figure out the next part. You get to figure out who part of what the whole mystery of the universe.
Yeah, but you get the whole Delta Quadrant.
Is.
You get the whole Delta Quadrant.
I get the whole Delta Quadrant. I get to go wrestle with the Rock. Do I get to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Do I get to turn into a lizard and screw the captain? But I only get to screw when I turn into a lizard, so...
Hey, you know?
And Q only stops by once. Twice? Yeah,
once.
I mean, might have been twice.
Okay.
But you get to make it home. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but the last trip that I make is much better than the trip home, which is just weird and unfulfilling. Sorry, it's a much cooler ship.
All right, I vote Voyager. You vote Discovery.
I'm going Voyager
there you
with
go.
This one.
Cool. I knew I was going to lose that one. That's fine.
It's okay.
You made a good argument, though.
All right. This one should be absolutely a no-brainer whatsoever, but we'll go with it anyway. It's the Eagle from 1999, Space.
Space 1999.
Yep. And the Battlestar Galactica.
I think the Battlestar Galactica
I'm
might
going
pull
with that one. Yeah.
The Battlestar Galactica is going to pull that one off.
Just because, I mean, pure survival. I mean, Battlestar Galactica, it was decommissioned. You know, it's an old ship. There's certainly flaws, but I mean, but it's getting them through. You know, yeah, it is still badass.
And they have better uniforms.
Sure. Yep,
it was very tan.
Yeah,
in 1999.
Well, yeah, everything was
very
tan
in 1999.
Yeah. last one for the solar bracket. You have the USS Defiant versus a Cylon Battlestar. I'm going Defiant.
This was hard for me because the Defiant, I mean, Star Trek and a lot of these shows are all about the good guys always find a way to win.
Right.
You know, we went with Serenity and, you know, they always find a way to win even up against a big, bad, evil foe. But when you're crossing genre evil foes, Cylons were pretty evil. Like, they wiped out all of Caprica and, spoilers, but I just mean, like, I don't know that in the Star Trek universe... that they're really prepared for the Cylons.
If you look at it from that aspect, the Cylon battleship does have the ability to be able to screw with their network computer system sort of thing and take
and
over.
And launch nukes.
Yeah, and I love the Defiant. I love the Defiant.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that the Cylons...
But here's the thing. It wasn't just supposed to be about who would win
in
battle.
And that brings me to my tricky part, because if you're talking about a ship I want to hang out in... Well, there's not a whole hell of a lot of room in the Cylon ship.
Right. You know, it's all based on your... Now, it was kind of cool when Starbuck was figuring out how to drive it.
True.
You know, there's that. But there's also...
No, this is
the Battlestar.
Yeah, the Battlestar.
That was that's the big one, clones are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Still.
Not the individual Raiders.
Raiders.
Not the
Raiders.
Yeah, but then I got to deal with, like, what, 30 or 40 different Dean Stockwells?
Yeah, but then you get a whole lot of the one chicks.
Lucy Lawless.
Six
times,
and eight.
And six, yeah. And four, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I know.
The hard one.
You're doing, and for people at home, he's doing the whole booby juggling move.
No, he's not.
It's like, yeah, this is the scales of justice, sir. It's the scales of justice.
Or the booby juggling.
And the really great thing, Cylon, since I'm not a Cylon, you know, there's no need for birth control. So they got that going for you.
God.
Wow.
So which one are we going with?
Ah, Jesus Christ. Overall, the Defiant's a cooler ship. The Defiant is a cooler ship.
All right, we're going with Defiant.
We're going with the Defiant.
All right. Now, I'm going to have
to... pick up the pace a little bit here,
I'm going to have gentlemen. To grab your sheet so I can actually see what the rest of them are, because I don't...
Well, I can lead. I can just say what we got. In our next battle, we've got the Enterprise D versus the Titan AE.
Enterprise D.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Versus the Satellite of Love. Sorry, Satellite of Love. Yep.
Yes.
Sorry, I've already messed up on the first one. Yep. I have it written down. It's definitely the Enterprise.
Enterprise.
It is definitely the Enterprise.
Because it's also because it's got the fun, but it's, you know, it's got the entertainment, but it's got everything.
I can go and find a satellite 11 holiday. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Borg Cube versus Serenity. See, they made it past the Reavers. This one was one of the hardest ones. I don't think Serenity survives the Borg.
I don't think they survived the Borg. I really don't.
But it's not going with battle completely.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the ship that I'm going to want to go out there in and have in the verse.
Yes. Borg.
I'm afraid I got to
do more with it.
I'm afraid I got to go with the cube. I'm afraid.
I know. Borg cube for the win. Then we have the Macross versus the Millennium Falcon.
I'm sorry, the Falcon's winning that one.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't give a goddamn what your giant robot can do.
Okay.
That's the Millennium Falcon.
I'd like to see that battle, don't get me wrong, but Han Solo and Chewie take that one down.
I mean, if nothing else, he could always hide by just clinging to it and dumping it trash.
All right, now we have the Dwarf, the Infinity Class, the mining ship, right? The Dwarf. The Red Dwarf versus the TARDIS.
The TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we need your vote?
The TARDIS.
Yeah, still going with TARDIS in that one.
Yeah.
Gotta be the TARDIS.
Again,
it's a swimming pool, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
I know. Awesome sauce. All right, so now we're on the Viper. We're over on the Solar Division.
Yes.
Right.
And we've got the Viper versus the Shadow Ship.
Yeah, see, this one was very tough for me, is which one I want to fly around.
That picture of the Shadow Ship is very impressive. Yeah. Like, if I was trying to strike fear into the hearts of people,
right,
it'd be the Shadow Ship. But the maneuver, I mean, fun to drive. The Viper's the sports car.
Right. It really is. If I went with my heart, overall, I had the Viper and the Shadow Ship making it to this round, and then I had the Shadow Ship making it past this round.
You know, there's a great argument for me, either one, so I'm going to go with a null vote. I'm just going to go with ever.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Shadow Ship.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, then we have the X-Wing versus the Yamamoto.
The Yamamoto
crushes the shit out of an X-Wing.
Yes.
It's just nothing. It doesn't even get anywhere near the amount of missiles it launches at one time.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now we have the Nell versus the Voyager.
What do you think about that one, Bruce?
Honestly, I
think the novelty of the boobies wore off for me, and I'm going for the Voyager. We've fondled. We've loved. I'm ready to move on. What do you think?
I suppose if I get to fondle 7 of 9, then. You can put
Voyager.
Yeah. As a cooler ship, I still think that Nell is
a cooler ship.
Cooler ship.
It really is a cooler ship.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to take around, Voyager overall.
Well, the thing is, you couldn't park at certain places because of, like, adult, you know. And,
right.
You
know, right.
Couldn't park at the religious planets.
No, they'd have a problem with that.
Yeah. All right,
then we have the Battlestar Galactica versus the Defiant.
Galactica.
I think Galactica makes it.
Yep. I even had them beating the Cylons if the Cylons went on, because obviously they do, you know?
They're not networked in any kind, so they're
all right, back to the Planetary Division. We have the Enterprise versus the Borg.
Enterprise.
We know how this works. The Enterprise.
This is the X-Wing Death Star
right
here.
This is proven. We know how this works.
Yep.
Now, possibly the toughest matchup on this entire bracket for me was the Millennium Falcon versus the TARDIS.
This is how tough this was for me. TARDIS. I know it's the Falcon. I know the Falcon is awesome, but the TARDIS takes me anywhere in time and space to places I really enjoy being.
I tell you, though, you know, for me, this is
I really enjoy that.
This is where the TARDIS's lack of defense capabilities and weaponry was where, yes, the Doctor can get out of any situation. Don't get me wrong, I'd rather travel with the Doctor.
Right.
But I don't know. I wanted the Falcon.
Okay. Bruce?
This really is a toss-up because, honestly, of the two ships, I really don't like either one of them all that much. Honestly. Okay.
That's the Bruce that Keiko.
I dare you make less sense.
Okay. The Millennium Falcon is a hunk of junk, but it's a cool hunk of junk.
Yeah.
The TARDIS is a box.
Yeah.
It can go anywhere and anyone.
It's bigger on the inside.
That flies in a spinning circle. And doesn't have chairs.
That's managed to defeat the Dalek and the Cybermen.
Have you ever seen a chair in the TARDIS?
You mean that one library room where Clara goes in that one room?
Okay.
Yeah. There's definitely chairs by the pool. Come on. He's not uncivilized.
Fine. You're an awful person that hates two of the coolest ships ever made. Which one do you hate the least?
I'm going to have to go with Millennium Falcon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's where my bracket gets busted. Right
Yeah. All right. And then on the Solar Division, we have the Shadow Ship versus the Yamamoto.
The Yamamoto.
Yeah.
I'm going that one, yeah.
The Yamamoto.
Sounds like a badass. Okay, and then we have the Voyager versus Battlestar Galactica.
Galactica
absolutely of takes course. This.
You know, kind of gets down to this round where usually you do see some upsets still going into this round, but I think, the geek favorites here, the cream is rising to the
happened.
Top.
Mine just happened.
Now we have the Enterprise, NCC 1701-D versus the Millennium Falcon.
Enterprise, definitely.
I need so many more people on the Enterprise.
You also have a ship that is not going to fall apart, is not going to...
Phasers, photon torpedoes, transporter capabilities.
Shields!
A better holodeck.
You can separate the saucer section from the main...
The hull plating's there, too.
Yeah.
Warp.
Yeah.
The Falcon has light speed.
Okay, which is not very reliable.
The Falcon has light speed, which means it's warp one.
You don't know that.
It's not faster than light speed.
Just call it that.
Well, I vote for the Enterprise too. So even if you want to go with the Falcon, you were outvoted. All right. Then we have the Yamamoto versus Battlestar Galactica.
This is a fight.
This is an epic battle that I would love to see.
Oh my God, yes.
Someone needs to put this together.
This needs to happen somewhere.
Really does.
Well, I know Battlestar Galactica better, so this is where I go with BSG as my vote.
Okay.
I really should let you guys duke it out because you know both of the ships.
That's fine. Well, see, yeah, the Galactica, it's wonderful and it's awesome and everything. But if you put those two up together, I think I got to go Yamamoto. I think I got to. I really do. I think overall that is that's just a better ship in most every way that you can see it. I just think that's a...
God, I do not want to see this battle happen because I know. This is one of those, you know...
There'd be
honestly,
lots of carnage.
I don't see anybody winning this fight.
Yeah, no matter who wins.
They'd both all be all in. Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, I see... this is how I imagine the battle ending. The Yamamoto ramming the Galactica. And
mutually
then,
assured
and then,
destruction.
And then firing.
Might be the only way to do it.
That's how I see this fight ending.
Well, thankfully, that's not how we have to do it. It's just a matter of which ship do you want.
I know. You know, I'm going to go Yamamoto.
There we go.
All right. So in the final round, the Enterprise versus the Yamamoto.
I know. You feel a little winded from this one, don't
this
you?
This is
going to hurt you a little bit.
This is difficult. This is because I wasn't expecting to be here. I was expecting to be having the TARDIS go up against the Yamamoto at this point. That's where I thought we were going to be.
Oh, then Yamamoto would definitely win for that one. Sorry.
But that's not what we're contending.
But that's not what we're contending.
So the Enterprise versus the Yamamoto. What you got, Bruce?
Honestly,
which one's there in the heart? Which one are you going to tool around in more if you want to do it?
Enterprise.
What you got?
I also have Enterprise.
Of course you do. And I got to be honest with myself. I mean, I love the Yamamoto. I do.
Yeah, but still the Enterprise.
But who doesn't want to be captain of the Enterprise? Or even just on the bridge of the Enterprise. I mean...
Make it so.
Okay.
So there it is.
There we go. There
Look,
is the
I wrote on my paper at the beginning, NCC 1701, bitches.
Oh, God. I can't. Of course, I should be able to believe that. Well, yeah, there it is. I'm sure, like I said at the beginning of this, you're going to have differences. Of course you do. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, there's probably people at home screaming.
You know, we never got to your ship, and you're pissed off about it, so...
Yeah, tell us which one we should have put on there.
So yeah, all about
it. Send it to podcast at Billy Flynn. Billy Flynn.
Podcast at BillyFlynn.com. That's right. That gets two bells. It's so goddamn good.
Wow.
You know, GOD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, not commercial, work, 96.3.0 license. And yes, I did say every word in that correctly. Thank you. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Jesus Christ, make us go to the forums at GeekRadioDaily.com. Make them, because then they'll make me. And do drop us a note. It's podcast. Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinch, is all at geekradiodaily.com, or you can send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CRILL.
That's where now?
510-GRD-CRILL.
One more time.
510-GRD-CRILL.
Nice. See you in a week.
You guys are idiots.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Good night, suckers.
No sleep till April.
chicken at the rest, bad calls. Eating my bowl of Wheaties, dunk of balls. Got P.I.P., no game that I'll miss. Bill Raftery's here to seal.
With a kiss.
A turnip pool, don't be a fool. Bet all your money on a max school. 15-2 will cause some sadness. It's not our house, but it is Mark's madness. Buzzer beaters, nacho eaters. Call me Joey Greco, cause I hate cheetahs. At work, stream games while at your seat. The boss walks by, hit a button.
Spreadsheet! No sleep till April!
Most folks are clueless when making their picks, cause you know pools are won by random chicks. As I bounce this ball, take a tip from me. Don't waste your time watching NIT. Like a dog is to a cat, a cat is to a dog. I have safe idle things at Clark Kellogg. Don't slap guys' butts, I give a fist pound. And I pick up girls who are on the rebound. Laugh at fools who fall for the pump fake. I love the nougat filling in a fast break. Leave all your notions at the front door. Greatest month of the year, who will win the Final Four? We'll be right back.